Hello, this is Terry Laundry with the T3 Observations for Monday, May 18th, 2009. Today, as you can see, I have presented two charts, the first one being the PDF file for the regular daily chart, which is probably most interesting for us right now. And I have followed on with a 200-year updated chart for the long-term concepts, which are going to become more important for the future. And but I am going to just show you that chart, make a few brief comments on the long-term picture, and then when we get to the next week's discussion, I will just pin in a few things on the short-term picture, which I think is going to work out fine. And then I will dig into this long-term picture, which is a very complicated issue, but one of the very interesting ones, and try to get by the next week most of the things out of the way for the end of the month, so that I can work on my my business projects as we do. I do a year-end, I do a monthly report, and that kind of takes up a little bit of time. And then when we get into June, as you will see, I have made a note in text that I'm very happy to have Clay's questions coming in, and I will have the new email address where you can send some questions in, because I think it's very helpful. Already I found his questions provocative in the sense that I was able to find new ideas in the long-term chart which go beyond his questions of just the gold and the supercycle. The one thing that I did put in this chart, I thought the idea of supercycles was going to be a very interesting one, so I noticed that I did change the title to T-Theory Supercycles, because there's a 40-year cycle and an 80-year cycle, and they have to do with inflation versus deflation, and that has to do with gold versus bonds, which gets a little bit closer to the question. We have a very negative forecast for that time period, and so it becomes an important long-term issue. So moving on to the next thought, I also want to introduce a new project which I am doing, which is basically to plan out a self-published book which will have a whole series of the important things that I've gathered over the last 35 years as far as T-theory is concerned. And I have made some steps along that way, and it's going to take me about a year to get all that stuff taken care of to the point where I can do it. But the eventual plan is to take the advanced decline T's, which are the most important concept in T-theory for actually practical application, and carry them from the 1929 period to the present. That we published those in scattered parts in the past, but I want to get them on one complete sequence of charts where I can make a coherent discussion on that. I'll do a little bit on the short-range T's, because they're over that same time period. It's important to understand some general ideas on short-range T's, but it's a lot of work to get them all plotted out. And then I want to go into the supercycle chart, which is the main conclusion is that you're headed into depression, and that the 2000 and the 2007 peaks are double tops, and basically think that things are going to become quite bad going forward. And this relates to you have the survival problem going into that. And I'm not sure that just buying money market, switching out of common stocks to money market funds is going to be able to handle that kind of a magnitude problem. So I want to get a little bit more into that, even though we are looking for an advanced decline T to give us a rally here. But you know, eventually this rally is going to succumb to the long-term problem, and the long-term problem is going to become, in my opinion anyway, something that's going to become so much more serious that you really want to get your act together to get everything taken care of. I hadn't really been thinking about this until Clay made that mention, so we're going to work on this, see if somebody can jog my mind as to some other concerns. I won't have time to answer any of the questions in any detail, and if they're just crank questions, I won't answer them at all. but it is going to supply me over the next year with additional ways to look at T-theory to see if I can't get it more or less organized into something that's has some other input in it, because I have a creative process that's going along, and I'm looking for something that would be clues as to what's the important project going forward. Now, moving on to the next project, as part of this coming up with this book, which will, it's basically, so it's a big PDF file with all my writings. I will also add in my 1973 studies, and which was my original work before I even formed a company, after I had left Hughes Aircraft Company. Following my MIT electrical engineering education, I went to Hughes Aircraft Company for 6 years. Then I got interested in this. I took a leave of absence. I discovered the time symmetry we use in T's. And on my own, I published this 130-page document called Principles of the Magic T. And I have a copy of it scanned in, and I want to get it into the public hands. So what the idea is to do this current work, and then add in the 1973 publication, bundle it up into one PDF file, have it published. The cost of the book is about $10, and the shipping will be about $3. And I will offer that through my T-Theory observations, my T-Theory Foundation. I will comment on it in T-Theory Observations. But all of my works for posterity purposes goes to the T-Theory Foundation, and you'll have an opportunity to get that. And then in subsequent years, what I'll do is I'll keep updating that book, and I will offer it at some reasonable cost if you're interested in following along the ideas. And the old books will be available in PDF file if you just want to read them over for general information. So let's move on to the next topic, which is that in order to get this all taken care of, all my audio files are being transcribed by Lori, who is a super typist, and that allows me to make the discussions in audio, but I have a text copy, and she has informed me that in my last update, I was talking about the major decline ending in 2002, and she says, I think you meant that it was in 2020, and that's true. It's in the long-term chart, and when we get to next week, I will talk about why that was true. But I don't care to redo the audio discussion, so you'll notice that in last week's update, I have said there was a small correction to the effect that there was a mistake there, and I meant 2002. That's the best way to take care of that stuff. For posterity's sake, the discussion will be cleaned up, and I will make that change, and it will become as a text file, and that's how we get rid of all of those little problems and sort of streamline the process. In order to help her and yourself to understand when I change topics, I'm going to verbally say that I've changed the topics, because sometimes I just talk about things that are philosophical in nature, and sometimes I'm talking about a particular area in the chart, so I'll identify that before we get in, so it might make things a little bit clearer. Okay, next topic, let's go on and look at the short-range PDF file, which is what I call my daily chart, and it's important because you can't get reconciliation with the long-term picture unless you look at some of the details. The first detail that we want to look at that chart is to recapitulate the old price T, which is the black crossbar from the March low. That you have two T's there, the black crossbar, which is the old price T, and then there's a longer spanning red crossbar, which is the current oscillator T, defined by a cash buildup phase and the blue oscillator. Now, as we discussed before, if you just want to take the simple idea that you made a peak in around January 5th, and then you made a low in the early part of January, and you measure that time, you get the time symmetry that I discovered, which says that an equal amount of time, which is about 2 months, you will project a high in the middle of the week before last. And you can see in the chart here, as I best could draw it, it sort of made a top, and then it came back down, and I said it's probably going to the bottom of this small channel. Channels are very, very important in the market, because they're always market's always wandering back and forth in the channel. But people think that the daily fluctuations have something to do with the market. It's not. It's just wandering back and forth in the small channel. So you see, it's come down probably a little bit harder than I might have thought. And if you look at the volume oscillator as of Friday's close, you see that it went down to what I have labeled as an oversold condition, and it started to make that. It bottomed on Wednesday, came up on Thursday, and then it closed down on Friday. It's up today. When you get down to that dashed red line at the bottom of the oscillator chart, that is basically a band like the ones that I have up in the price indication that have been using the same equations which I invented, which are something like Bollinger Bands, but I put them down into the oscillator so that you can tell what is an oversold condition. It's not a perfect case for a bottom, but it does give you a clue. Actually, what I should do is the red line at the bottom in the oversold condition should be changed over to a green line, indicating green being it's good for buying so forth. But for our purposes, we'll just say that the drop off the old price T has gone oversold, and now we're looking for a rally, which could have started today or could wiggle around a little bit more, that comes up to the current oscillator's T projected top, which is based on a 3-month time symmetry from the oscillator, and that comes out at the end of this month. Okay, the end of the month is very busy for me because I have to do reports. And so I don't want to schedule a lot of things as far as these discussions are concerned. So I have other business. It's probably going to be important for the market because it's another T. You know, that they're supposed to be magic T's and they're supposed to make a top up there. You might remember in a discussion with Peter Eliades, we talked about the concept of the market making tops at the end of the month or the first few days of the next month. That's a Norm Farsbach discovery going back. That could be perfectly consistent with that. And so just a couple comments that seems to be that's probably going along okay is about all I'm going to talk about, but I can prepare the discussion for the very long-term chart. Okay, next topic is the next bull T, which I have drawn in green. I have shown that there is probably going to be a cash buildup phase, which starts in the sort of the middle of March. And it probably is going to last about 3 months. One of the principal concepts in short-range T's is that you can't have the center post of a next bull T, next T, or a new T, until you have gone past the old T's projected top date. So if you think about that, it means it has to be after the end of May, early June peak projected by the current oscillator T. But because the market has been this long cash buildup, it's not going to be very much longer than that. So it could be like the mid-June time period. It's going to have a cash buildup phase of 3 months, and that gives you the potential to go up for 3 months from that mid-June low, projected mid-June low. And that's the one that I commented last week. This was the one when the public is going to buy because they're going to believe the story that the bear market is over. And or it's not a real problem, and then there's a recovery. Basically, it's a bear market rally, but they'll make the conclusion, and so they'll jump into the market at that time, and they will push the market up in the right side of that T, which is called a bullish T. And that's what you're looking for. So the question is, how do you know that is going to happen? Well, the answer is you don't really know that it's going to happen. But I do know that if you go into an advanced decline T, what they do is they have two bullish T's in sequence, like I have shown. The current oscillator T is a bullish T. If the next T is a bullish T, you get two back-to-back. That's how you make bull markets on short-term oscillator charts. Okay, any advanced decline T worth its salt going back over the years, to the best of my knowledge, will make the two bullish T's in a row. The problem is that after you make two bullish T's in a row, everybody's into the market. And if you think you're in a raving bull market, you'll have to have some kind of a setback before you go on. But if you think you're in a bear market, it's possible that the two bullish T's in sequence have sucked up all the buying power from the bear market, and you're vulnerable to like a 50% correction or something that's much more serious. So you have to settle these long-term problems out. And you can't really say at this point, you know, you can't even say whether you're setting everything up correctly. It'll take a little more time. But when you get there, that pretty much that's what the story is going to be. And you're just going to say, if it looks good, you're going up through the summer, and you're going to get the latter part of the summer, you're going to run into a problem, and then you're going to have to make some judgment. That gives us plenty of time to go look at the other options that come from the long-term chart. Now, one final thought that I want to give you in summary is, how do you know that you've gone wrong? And that has to do with envelope theory, which is the easiest way to make decisions. And that envelope theory says that if you are entering a bear market trend, if you are in a bear market trend, the black line in the middle of the chart becomes resistance to the upside. An example of that is that early January, the market came up to the blue, up to the black line, it rolled off and it died. Okay, that's an example. If you postulate that you are in a bull T that is going to go to the end of the month, it's going to have a correction, then it's going to keep going up into the summer in the new T, you can say with very high reliability, but not a guarantee, the market will not go below the 55-day moving average, which in this chart says 850. It says 55-day mid-envelope is 850, and that's okay. It's moving, but it's rising, so you know, you have to put that into the equation as well. It doesn't guarantee that that's true, but it does give you the clue. The problem that you are likely to think about in your own mind is, what happens if it goes down to the 55-day moving and it's just teetering on holding, and you know, if it collapses, you're going to go into a depression or whatever. The answer is that the best reversal points for buying on a shorter term basis is on the 55-day moving average as a pullback if you're in a bull market, or as a short sale if you're in a bear market when it comes up and reaches the black line. So if it turns up from here, you can say, good, it didn't go through the 55-day moving average, but it's not the best buy point either, because in the best buy point, they always push it right to the limit, which is the 55-day moving average. Generally, from historical perspective, that's at the center post of the next bullish T, which would be in mid-June. So for that reason, I would say it's good if you turn up, but since you're going to a top at the end of the year, and it could be kind of a little bit of a blow-off if everything goes well, you're probably better off to take the center post of the next T, even if it's a higher low, because you get your second win from the next T, and that's what you're really looking for. Okay? So you can think about that, and I think that everything will come out fine here. You just remember that the 55-day moving average has to hold. It's rising, so you can kind of gauge what that's doing. But if you do see it touch the 55-day moving average, that is a very interesting date, because it's possible that if you break down, that it's bad. But if you buy there, it could also be very good. So you don't want to get too worried about the things I said last week. I wouldn't worry too much about this stuff. Basically, you're not going to have any trouble figuring this out as we go along, I don't think. Either scenario will be made perfectly clear in due course. Okay, that's it for today, and we'll be back 1 week from today, and we'll talk quickly about the short-term picture, and then we'll go on and do the more interesting things. In the meantime, I'd suggest you look at the long-term chart and think about some of the things that I've said about it, and perhaps think of some questions that you might have that we could address back in June. That's it for today. Thank you very much. Be back next week. Bye-bye.